Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you've done, and we just thank you that you're God, and that even as Chris was sharing earlier, how you just adore us and love us, and that you just delight to spend time with us because we're your children, that you have adopted us into this amazing family called the family of God. And I pray, Father, that you would just bless this time as we get into your word. As always, I pray that you would help us to put on our Berean hats, that whatever is of you would pierce our hearts, and that which is not of you would fall on the floor before us, and that we would take time to examine every word that comes from my mouth, just as the Bereans did concerning Paul. So, Father, just ask you to do that. Be with us in Jesus' name. And be with those who aren't here this morning and are traveling. We pray in your name. Amen. So, title message this morning is A Church Community Devoting Yourself. As some of you, most of you are aware, we have been on this trip, I guess. The Holy Spirit has had us on this path where we have been endeavoring to understand exactly what His church looks like. As we've looked at, I mean, there's 40,000 different denominations, and it's easy for people to look at and go, well, which is God's church? And we want to be a biblical church, as I'm sure every church does, and that's the path that the Holy Spirit has had us on since last October when we started looking into Beatitudes in Matthew 5. And the church, at least our participation in the church, and we are the church, as we know, it's not this crazy building, started, as it talks about in the Beatitudes, when we recognized our poverty of spirit. And we began to mourn over it. And it made us meek versus prideful. And we cried out for His righteousness to penetrate our bodies. And from there we moved to what's commonly called the Apostles' Creed, which anybody who grew up in any kind of church, you probably said it at least 2-3 times a month. I know the church I grew up in, we said it the first 3 Sundays of each month. And then the 4th Sunday, we said the Nicene Creed. But it's really a great, we just looked at it in the sense of who is God the Father, who's God the Son, and we even got into God and the Holy Spirit, and we looked at some of the things like the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and so forth. And then from there, we leaped off into looking at the value of following the Holy Spirit. We looked at the church, starting right after the last of the apostles died, and we looked all the way through to recent as to what happens when the church follows the Holy Spirit and when it doesn't follow the Holy Spirit. And how the Holy Spirit is so significant with His gifts and with His building of His church and helping us and speaking to us and leading and guiding us in all truth, as Jesus said when He was, just before He ascended, that He was sending this Comforter to be with us, to teach us and to lead us. See, the Holy Spirit, when we became Christians, fills us. But as we walk through life, there's times where we just need that little extra filling to where we can do what the things that He's called us to do. That, you know, we've all been in that place where you might have known God wanting you to do something and you were filled with fear or discomfort or something like that, but then you cry out for help and the Holy Spirit kind of gives you help and all of a sudden you're feeling good about what God's called you to do and faith fills your body. And that those are the kinds of things we're talking about, the multiple fillings. See, the Holy Spirit, He's always there helping us. And you might ask, why is the Holy Spirit always helping us? Because I think more now today than ever before, the church has to be relevant in this world. And when I say relevant, I'm not talking about, those who know me know this well, I'm not talking about don't do this, don't do that, don't do this or you're going to hell, or if you keep doing that, you're going. No, it's about His grace. It's about His love. It's about His mercy. It's about His kindness. It's about who He is. It's about relationship with Him and one another. And that's the church that needs to be relevant into today's world. It's interesting, as you know, I'm a little bit of a Twitter junkie, and there's people all over the place out there, and I've noticed that as people have said something, and I've said something in response, that all of a sudden, they're not following me anymore. But, you know, it's the truth of the word. But we're moving forward in this, because the church is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now we're moving into Scripture, a section of Scripture that I think is so profound and so amazing. And I know you've never heard me say it before, but it so wonderfully defines the picture of a healthy church community. As you know, Jesus ascended. Just before he ascended, he told this group of about 120 people, go find yourself an upper room. Okay, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, okay? And wait there for the Holy Spirit. And so they did. Do we have a problem? So, the church needs to be relevant in today's world. I think everybody here would give me an amen on that. Yes. I mean, if you read the news at all, okay, first off, God's not a Republican, God's not a Democrat, God's not a libertarian or a constitutionalist. But if you read it at all, you go, and you continue to let this world go on, God? But it's because he's raising up this relevant church, and he's bringing the churches together in ways that are going to be bordering on miraculous to really form the universal church. Now, it all started with the 120, as I was saying earlier. And then the Holy Spirit fell on him. And now think about this. Put yourself in Jerusalem. And they walk out, and they're speaking this funny language, according to Acts 2. But the thing would have gotten me even more, they all had tongues of fire on their head. Now put yourself in that position where some people, 120 people, are walking out of this upper room, and they have tongues of fire on their head. I mean, no matter they were freaked out, no wonder they thought that, even though it was at, 9 o'clock in the morning, that these people were drunk. And then Peter stands up and says, no, that's not true. And he gives this great message. Acts 2:37, their hearts were pierced, most likely by the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 men, which means 3,000 plus women, children, men, 7,000 people, were saved on this little short message. And as it says in the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Catholic Church, and that Catholic is a little C, universal, was created on that day and took off. See, God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us build his church and to be there constantly for us, to help us, to equip us, to do all that he wants to do. As we focus on God, as we become more and more like him, as we submit our free wills to his sovereignty, his will. See, the Holy Catholic Universal Church is really, or should be, a place of spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. It's, no offense here, but it's made of people, of broken people that have recognized that they're broken. but who want their mind and their heart and their will to be radically changed to line up with the Father. And then it all meets locally, and it's all part of the church universal. So Acts 2, 42 to 47, I just want to read this out of the New Living Translation. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. In reading that, with everything that's gone on, all the way back to when Jesus started his ministry and everything that he went through and all the stuff and 120, Peter's sermon, 5,000 or whatever it was getting saved. This section of scripture is getting into the response of the early Christians. It wasn't a checklist. It wasn't a list that came floating down from heaven, you know, to where they look into, oh, okay, this is what I need to be devoted to. But it came from their heart. It came from that new heart that was changed. And that's how the Holy Catholic Church played out in the first century. And I want to just look at from here, that was all the introduction. I want to look at from here, verse 42, the first part. Now listen to this. All the believers devoted themselves. See, these people were cut to the heart. They were pierced. They were pricked. It depends on the version of the Bible you have for Acts 2:37. But something happened to their heart. And when that happened, they were eternally and radically changed. And it says that they all, how do you define all? Chose to devote themselves to the things of God. And again, it's no legalism. Nobody, there wasn't this finger right in the sky, now you shall do this, or this paper floating down from heaven saying, okay, this is your assignment. But the people didn't just sit around asking what people could do for them. They became active. They became aggressive. And they devoted themselves. It's just the word of God. I'm not going to apologize for it. Because they understood how they had changed. They understood instantaneously who God was and what God had done for them, what Jesus had done for them. And they chose to follow the Holy Spirit in all things. See, this word devoted, I think, is a key word in this section of Scripture and a powerful word. You know how I ask questions all the time. It says, are we take that since these 3,000 plus people devoted themselves, does that mean we're going to devote ourselves? Well, that's a question you need to take to the Lord. And are we supposed to devote ourselves to a checklist? No. We know the spiritual ones here, they're the ones that have their hair done a certain way, their dresses are a certain length, the guys wear ties, you don't go to a dance, you don't. No. It's about our heart touching his heart and doing what he would have us to do. I want to do this illustration to help us understand this word devoted. So suppose you were invited over to Chef Robert's house. And he was giving this amazing party for whatever. He finally finished their bedroom. Okay. Pardon? Okay, it might have been a wedding. Who knows what it was? But But as soon as you walked into the room, the first thing you noticed is your nostrils were filled with this amazing fragrance of food. And then your eyes laid upon this amazingly scrumptious buffet. Now, I want you to trust me for a second, and those who know me are going, no way. But close your eyes. I really need you to experience what I'm about to describe. And as we close our eyes, just picture what I'm talking about, because I'm going to describe this buffet because it's going to help us understand a very important part. So on this buffet, there was Caesar salad. There are other types of salads. There was artichoke hearts. There's this amazing vegetable tray. There was prime rib. There was pheasant under glass, filet mignon, pork loin, chicken breast cooked in various ways, salmon, mai mai, other fish, oysters, crab, steamed asparagus, Chef Robert's famous cream spinach, a vegetable medley of corn on the cob, all kinds of different types of pasta, twice baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes and gravy, breads and rolls of every kind. And for dessert, there's creme brulee. And some of you are going, he didn't say chocolate first. Well, here it comes. Chocolate-covered strawberries, chocolate molten lava cake, various ice creams, and an awesome key lime pie. You can open your eyes. So here's the key. Here's the question. You just walked into this buffet. Do you eat of it or do you not? I mean, these people are. You see all the hands diving in? They are choosing to devote themselves to eating of this banquet. They could have said no, but they're choosing. See, it's our choice. And we can devote ourselves to eating of this buffet or not. And that's how it is when we became Christians. See, God, when we became Christians, God offered this amazingly scrumptious, beautiful, glorious buffet that is far better and tastes much greater than the food I just described. That's how it was for the 3,000 plus, as they all devoted themselves. See, God did an amazing thing in their lives and set this whole new banquet in front of them. And he said, here's your life, and I've got a new one for you. And it was amazing. And they, by the grace of God, became devoted to eating of it. They responded to the work of God in their heart, and they ate, and they ate, and they ate, and they ate just like we would. While everybody else was going for the salads, I'd go for the desserts. And there may be some left when you got there. Especially the chocolate. I mean, think about an eagle. You know, over where we live on Allen, during the fall on Hazleton, there's a tree right by Stewart's house. And oftentimes there's a couple eagles there throughout that 3, 4, 5 months. And it's fun to watch them all of a sudden devote themselves because their eye will lock in on something. Just like a lion. When it's hungry, all of a sudden it devotes itself. And nothing changes its focus. See, and that's how the 3,000 plus were as they became devoted to God's church plan. See, Acts 42 to 47, which I read a little bit ago, is not a checklist as some people try to turn it into. It is simply a heartfelt response from those who heard God Pierce. For anybody that's interested, Nadal just won the French Open. It just popped up. No offense, but it did. But they, by God's grace, became devoted to it. See, devoting is the means. It's we make the choice to devote. Are we going to devote ourselves to the ways of God, or are we not? Just like the eagle, the lion. And again, it's not a list. Do we eat of it, or do we pass? It's our choice. It's your choice. It's my choice. Whether we will eat of God's buffet. And again, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about works because of faith, as it talks about in James. Talking about walking out what God has set before us. Talking about centering our lives and focusing on the one true God, our should-be priority system. Talking about submitting our free will to His sovereignty. Talking about focusing completely and totally upon the triune God. And that's what the 3,000 people did. And that's why they did what they did. See, the feast that they ate of caused them to lay aside the things of this world and to wholeheartedly jump into the church that God created. And they ate. And they ate. And they ate of God's goodness. See, something happened to them when their hearts were impacted. By God's grace, they devoted themselves to all that He gave them. See, it's, you know, how I've talked about over time when we go through life and look at scriptures as a road sign, and we read the scripture and we go, whoa, how does that apply to me? And the question might come into your heart. Has your heart been pierced? Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, Christian, believer, whatever you want to say, they were. But the bigger question is, what's our response? Let's look closer at this word devoted. It's an active plural verb, so it's ongoing and it's active. It's not a word that requires us, we just sit here and do nothing, but we constantly seek after it. So the Greek word, which is long and I can't pronounce it, it means to adhere to one, to be constant to one, to be steadfastly attentive unto, to give unremitting care to a thing, to continue all the time, to persevere and not to faint, to show one's courageous for, to wait on constantly. Phil Schaefer, the pastor of Christian Fellowship North, Columbia, says this, being devoted means we are not letting ourselves be led by guilt or obligation. That's important to understand. It's not by guilt or obligation, but it's by seeing the work of the Holy Spirit in us, seeing by the grace of God fresh desires within us, by looking to the goodness of God that is being worked within each one of us. See, being devoted is taking our eyes off of ourselves and the things in this world while gazing at the beauty of Christ, while trusting and waiting on God so that we might see what He has done, what He is doing, and what He is going to do in our lives. It's coming to the place where we realize that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that deserves our attention more than the things of God, which are laid out in these scriptures. It's not about doing something we must, but understanding that as we wait on God and respond to His banquet, God will reveal things to us and our lives will be eternally changed for the good. You can summarize all that up. Church, following Jesus, is not a checklist. It's not. Yet, there was definitive action on the part of all those that became Christians. They continued steadfastly. They trusted God with everything because their hearts had been pierced, because they were radically changed, because they understood what God had accomplished for them personally. Because they understood that whatever price they paid, whether it's life and service, even up to death, it was worth it. Because it did not compare to the price Jesus paid for them and us. You know, I think of that story that Christian and told me. You remember the picture, and I told a few weeks ago, but just to remind us of it, that when ISIS was beheading the Christians on the beaches over in the Middle East, and they were going down the line and asking people to denounce Jesus, and if they didn't, they lost their head. And it came to a person who up to that point had not been a follower of Jesus. But he saw these people, how radical they were. And when it came to him and they asked him to denounce Jesus, he said, "My God is their God." And he lost his head. See, nothing we do. I mean, what Jesus did, and these people understand. You see, and they saw this banquet and they dove in. See, John MacArthur says this: despite the hate, ridicule, and persecution they suffered, they remained faithful. That is a mark of genuine salvation. I mean, look at the contrast that the Bible lays out between true believers and false believers. John 8:31, the ESV. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." See, true believers abide in him. They remain in him. They do not depart when things get going hard, but they stay in Christ. Yeah, I mean, you see the similarity with the word devoted there. But false believers, look at 1 John 2:19, New Living Translation. "These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. They were neither devoted, nor did they abide, nor did they continue. Instead, they left." It's the difference. The 3,000 plus had a fervor and dedication to the things of Christ. This miracle church that was started was an amazing thing. It was transformed. It was redeemed. And they devoted themselves. And what did they devote themselves? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to breaking bread, to prayer, to wonders and signs, to sharing and taking care of one another, to giving of their money and stuff, to being generous, to praising God. Remember, several weeks ago, we went through just real quickly, laid out 35 things that is confined within God's church. Devoted to those 35 things. To seeking the Holy Spirit and letting him work in his lives. And then it gets to the part where I absolutely love Acts 27b. "And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." Did you notice when I said that they were devoted to the things they were devoted to, that evangelism was not there? Now, I'm not saying it didn't go on. But I think Jesus is trying to say something here, to say that if you are and walk into the church that is devoted, the church that I've called you to be, people will be at it. Because these people were not hiding. It says that they were in the temple. They were run about. They were on Solomon's portico. They were out in the streets, and people saw how they lived, how they were changed. Yeah, there's Irving. He used to be a wife beater. Look at him. Is that him washing his wife's feet? I mean, they saw. And they saw that by their actions, that they were separating themselves from whom they had been. They joined the church. They became the church. They were the church. Remember, the church is people, not buildings. And they received the benefits of devoting themselves as we would and do. Okay, the worship team, want to come back? And can somebody go down to Pam and tell her we're going to have communion here in a few minutes? I just want to make sure we understand something.